Thank you, Vaughn, for taking us around the world in 2 minutes. Lagos, right. Let's bring you Balogun abroad.
If you earn a living, you probably own a business, work for one, or want to start one. Business is central to your life. But do most business shows really speak to you?
Today on the show, the $1 billion valuation of
Balogun Broad does. Let's talk about the stock market and Alaba market. Let's talk about share IPOs and diesel supply LPOs. Let's talk about Broad Street.
The Nigeria Stock Exchange recorded an all-time high of...
And Balogun Street.
The maximum I will spend on fuel, so on fro, was 4,000.
On Balogun Broad, Wednesdays at 5.
Will the candidates' proposed policies affect your business? Yes, you are a voter, but you are also a business owner or business manager or a worker in an industry. And this is the Realest Business Show on radio. On Balogun and Broad, we talk about how the issues in the news affect businesses of all sizes and the people who work for those businesses. I am Sandra Ezekwesili. Welcome to Balogun and Broad. And we've got a business hard fact for you today. According to EFINA's 2020 financial services survey, there were 46.4 million small business owners in Nigeria. 46.4 million small business owners in Nigeria. So there are tens of millions of you who, apart from being voters, are also business owners. And that means when you're deciding how to cast your vote, you are not just thinking about the personal policies like security, healthcare, education. You're also thinking about your livelihood, about how each candidate's policies could affect it. Because policies affect business. We closed the border for years and years. It did a lot to a lot of businesses. So today on Balogun and Broad, let's talk about some of the campaign promises that the candidates are making to the business community. We're going to assess the pros and cons. We'll talk about Atiku's plan to encourage real estate developers to build low-cost housing. And then we'll talk about Peter Obi's plan to mechanize farmers by reviving the Bank of Agriculture. And apart from these specific policies, I want you to tell me what your industry needs from the next president. I don't know what kind of businessman or businesswoman you are, what kind of business that you're into, but what do you think your industry needs from the next president? Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Women, call me on 01465-7190. But before I come to your calls, first of all, Lagos, let's talk about Atiku and housing. Now, you know that, of course, there's a housing deficit. There are not enough real estate developers building low-cost houses that the average Nigerian can afford. Developers say that it's because it doesn't make business sense for them. Atiku says that he has a plan for that. If you're watching our live stream, you can see him talking about it at Arawa House. But if you're listening on your radio, I'm playing the sound for you right now.
Right now, if you are talking about housing, there is an oversupply of housing in Abuja. You know why? Simply because there is money laundering. But the oversupply of housing is not housing that caters for the ordinary man, for the poor man. What you can do is to identify those investors in housing. Come. Yeah, you are building houses for medium and high income groups. I want you to build houses for low income, these people who don't have houses. If you build the houses, I will give you tax incentive. I will give you this, I will give you that. They will do it. They will do it. The point is that, well, pardon me if I'm approaching governance like a businessman. I am a businessman. But governance nowadays is managing business. If you don't know how to manage business, don't get involved in governance. Because you will be a failure.
First of all, do you agree with Atiku that money laundering is the reason why developers are focused on expensive estates in Abuja? Developers who are listening to the show, I want to hear from you because they say you are laundering money. Is it true? But are there not other explanations, other business explanations? I mean, if low-cost housing were profitable, wouldn't money launderers do it as well? So isn't it more likely that the market is broken in some way? For example, let's say that you want to build very cheap studio apartments. Studio apartments are self-contained. That's what you call self-contained here. Let's say you want to build dozens of self-contained in a block of flats to keep the costs down. What's the cheapest unit cost of one of such flats? I'm talking about the cost of construction, the cost of the land it's on, all of that. Then let's look at the average salary that a Nigerian is making. Can the average Nigerian afford to buy that cheapest of the cheapest houses without a mortgage or some other financing? I think that's the real problem, but maybe I'm wrong. I really want to hear from the experts. If you're a developer, I want to hear, you know, how you're thinking about this. But Atiku has a plan. He believes that if government gives tax breaks to developers, they'll agree to build those cheaper houses. Now, I don't want to talk about the fiscal side of things and whether or not government will be able to afford it. I want to talk about the business policy side. Do you think tax breaks could incentivize real estate developers to start building cheaper homes that more Nigerians can afford? Do you think that that could happen? Again, if you're a developer, I really, really want to hear from you. I want to know how much of a tax break you need as a developer to switch from luxury homes or high-range homes to low-cost housing. And like I asked before, I also want to know what the actual costs are. We need good numbers so that we can properly assess this thing, you understand? So what does it cost to build a low-cost home? What does it cost to build a luxury home? What's the cost difference to a developer? Do you believe that enough Nigerians can afford even those cheaper homes? What do you think about Atiku's housing policy suggestion? If you work in another industry, what do you think that the next president should do for your industry, for your business? 0700-993-993-993. That's for men. Women, call us on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. We've got WhatsApp too. Share your thoughts on WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
Yes, this is Tosha again. The truth of the matter is that I don't think the cabinet has passed incentive to discourage
developers,
or to encourage developers to build for the low income earners.
Hmm.
Now, what really drives expensive houses or cost of housing in most urban areas is lack of good infrastructure.
Mm.
I'll give you an example. Let's take a Lagos example now.
Okay.
Because of lack of good road network and maybe railway, everybody tends to stay where the experience of their office, which are considered some areas, like on the island, Ikeja area, maybe Yaba area.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at those areas, you see that houses are expensive in those areas.
Okay.
Now, if you go to tourism, Egbeda, Alimosho area, houses are a little bit cheaper there.
Okay.
So, if there's good infrastructure and people can move from Badagry in the morning,
okay,
to their office,
people will
decide to move there. Now, the so-called, we have another option, and to reduce their cost, their price. First of all, you have to remember that it is the state government that determines, the cost of the building.
Okay.
Maybe as a result of maybe the charges of maybe permit, building permit, CFO, various taxes. Because I'm doing a project in Lagos, and I can tell you now I know why houses in Lagos are very expensive.
Mm.
The bottleneck is very, very difficult.
Okay.
Tedious.
Okay.
Like that, I pay taxes.
Okay.
But do you know that when I want to do my bill, I mean, they said I'm paying tax of 2 million.
Okay.
I said 1 grand. They said I'm not paying good. I'm not paying the great tax.
Okay.
When I was building, some people came from local government and said you have to pay for grand fee.
Mm-hmm.
They have to pay rent as well. Omonele came. Everybody came. So are you going to tell me that when after building that house, I will not go and I'm going to give it cheap
and do low cost?
It's not possible.
Mm.
So we need to be realistic. So the only way is to develop the infrastructure very well.
Okay.
Let there be good schools in the rural areas.
Okay.
And many people, I mean, I don't like to stay in the urban areas. I prefer quiet location.
Right.
But I can't do that because my children need to go to good school.
Right.
I need to go to the office.
Right.
So those are the issues.
Okay. All right then. Thank you so much for calling us. Very great insights from that caller there. 99.3. Hello.
Yes, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
Yeah, this is Paul from Egweda.
Hi, Paul. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome back from your long leave.
Thank you.
Yeah, I hope you bought chocolate.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Now, Sandra, back to this issue. Very, very sensitive and important issue.
Okay.
Now, when you're building in Lagos, you go to the housing department, the laboratory aspect of the department,
mm-hmm.
they will ask you to pay for the testing of the soil, the water, whether it's salty water. They will ask you and make a prescription of the kind of the iron you will buy.
Right.
Then you will bring those items, the sand, the granite, the water, the soil, to their lab.
Right.
For testing.
Right.
And then you pay. And it's not, this payment is not 10,000, it's not 20,000.
Okay.
By the time you finish this, you are spending over half a million.
Right.
Then you go for approval. Approval may cost you nothing less than 1.2 million.
Okay.
You now started your building. Then you go to local government. By the time you finish with local government and getting all this documentation, you are spending close to 3.5 million. Hello?
Yes, I'm here. 3.5
yeah,
million.
Before you start your building.
Mm-hmm.
So the government that is going to come in or whoever I'm going to vote mm-hmm. should reduce taxation.
Okay.
We are suffering in Lagos. Okay. Multiple taxation is causing the high cost of...
Oh, sorry about that, Paul. But again, taxation in Lagos, that's in the purview of the Lagos state government, isn't it? Is that something that the federal government should be getting involved in? The federal government has its own tax. The state government has its own taxes. If there's multiple taxations in Lagos, that's within the purview of Sanwo-Olu or Barebo Roads, Vivo or Jando or whoever else wants to be, a Doherty, who wants to be governor in Lagos, isn't it? You know, so I guess we can expand the conversation beyond the presidential candidates. We've got Prince from Games Village in Abuja who says, Sandra, what he said now is the truth. We have so many empty estates here. I mean, so many. Shola from Ogba says, Sandra, I'm a logistics operator. I want the president to correct the issue of NIPOST with logistics companies. NIPOST has been the regulator of this industry and now they are also in business. How can you be a coach and a referee? Sandra, we need you to bring us to the studio. We have a coalition of association fighting for the right of riders and operators. All right, Shola, let's plan for next week Wednesday. How does that sound? Does next week Wednesday sound okay? Let's talk about it. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, my name is Christian Efion.
Christian, welcome.
Yeah, and I'm calling from Abulosun Water Side in Ikara Island area.
Good to have you on the show. Go ahead.
You see, I don't have much to say. I just have a little to tip in.
Okay.
Thank you, first of all, for your good works.
Oh, thank
I've
you.
I've been listening to you since all this while.
Thank you.
But you see, in my own side, anybody that will be elected in come 2023,
mm-hmm.
my own idea is that person should block the road that the present president opened for Niger to Nigeria, as exactly what Donald Trump did in America.
Why?
Yes, if you look at what is happening today in Nigeria, the rate of all this Niger, Mali, Chad we are having, in the next 10 years, they will take over Nigeria from us, claiming that they are not. Why they are not?
No,
I'm
but...
I'm working in a place, I'm speaking out of experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working in a place, I'm a security, I'm working in a place of which they have almost dominated every area in that place.
Okay.
You don't know the true outside man.
Okay, so this is a security concern, not a business concern, but this is a business show, and we're talking about business right now. What you're addressing is a security concern, right? And then I disagree that a border should be blocked that stops non-Nigerians from coming in. That's xenophobic. What should happen instead is proper documentation, like happens in other parts of the world, of everybody that comes into Nigeria. If you have proper documentation of everybody coming into Nigeria, then you wouldn't have a problem identifying those who are Nigerians and those who are non-Nigerians. Anything else is xenophobia. You hate it when you go to South Africa and it happens to you. Don't preach it when you're in Nigeria. 99.3, hello.
Hi, Sandra. Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name, ma'am?
My name is Mercy.
Hi, Mercy. Welcome.
My own issue is I'm not really a business person at the moment,
okay,
because of registration process. So I think I would want the
incoming president
to work on the registration process,
okay,
of businesses, small businesses.
Okay.
Sometimes the registration, the money they use in registering could be way higher.
Hmm.
And then people, ordinary citizens, get to suffer,
okay,
from it. So maybe they reduce it to a level.
Okay.
Maybe it depends on the business you're doing.
Okay.
And then
are you talking about CAC registration or just business name registration? Because I know that there was a time they regularized it, I believe last year or 2 years ago. I believe I even had people from CAMA come and talk about it on the show.
Of recent, you know, these strike issues with regards to bread and all of that.
Yes.
So many of them are not just bread, mm-hmm, not just bread.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a time of recent that I listened to Sheriff,
mm-hmm,
and they had this, I think, a few months ago.
Okay.
Not so recent, but then a few months ago.
Okay.
Where people were lamenting that the rate of registration is growing like way too much. I don't know if it's been regularized and all of that.
Okay.
But then it's really alarming. So I think they should work on it so that it could give avenue to people that have good business in mind to get their business registered officially and not do illegal businesses.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for calling, Mercy. We've got a message here. As a small business owner, I want the incoming president to completely ban illegal, ubiquitous toll points across the country, particularly in the south, and put a permanent stop to the various illegal settlements, including Omonile and state government officials who also collect all manner of tolls in the name of revenue on federal roads. All right. Inaikedi, thank you very much for your message. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am. What's your name?
My name is Mercy, calling from Ikoyi.
Welcome, Mercy.
Yeah. So, on the topic of what I would like the incoming president to do for me in regards to my business, so I'm a laundry woman, so I would like the incoming president to generate enough electricity,
okay,
to each citizen to enable the new business people to carry out their daily jobs and duties to help them earn more income.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. That seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? 99.3. Hello.
Hello.
Good to have you on the show, sir.
Yeah, President Father, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Mr. Issa from Obalende.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. The major problem that I see here, one, Atiku Atiku don't have anything to offer also. Okay. He built a private university. How many common man can go to that school? One.
But he just said he's a businessman and governance needs to be run as a business.
No, the private school is a business.
Mm-hmm. Private school is a business, exactly. And private schools are not a crime.
Okay. Mm. Secondly, all this revenue, let's say like, you carry good from north or carry good from east before you enter Lagos.
Mm.
You know how much all this local government will collect for your hand before you enter Lagos.
Yes.
All these things will make the food stuff to be
expensive,
cost.
Okay.
And the best thing for the income government to do for us is there should be the refinery. When all the diesel and the petrol, they cheap.
Mm.
So then the food, you can import food from anywhere to many places.
Mm.
Then the cost of the food will reduce.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for calling. Now, of course, it's not true that having refinery will make the cost of diesel and fuel cheap, because in countries where they have refineries, they're paying way more for their fuel and their diesel than we're paying here in Nigeria. And I'm talking about all the countries, you know, the US, Canada, all the countries that have oil, that have refineries, they're not paying cheaper for their fuel or for their diesel. So our problem is not that our refineries are bad. In fact, if we fix our refineries and we stop paying subsidy, we may actually start paying more for our fuel and our diesel, you know. But at least that money that we're paying to import the refined products will go to something else. So there's that. There's also the extra jobs that will be provided as a result of a working refinery. But I don't even think a working refinery should still be on our plate, except of course we manage to elect people who have the political will to get our refineries to work. But our refineries, in the current state that they're in, investors don't even want to buy it. They're moribund, you know. We've got a message here that says Atiku's perspective is shifting the burden away from the primary responsibility of government, which is to provide a level playing field for all the players in the building development industry. If there's power, road, good security and a good tax regime without duplicity, it would be much easier to invest in housing development for both low and high income. Also, the Lagos State government, by not centralizing the resolution of the requirement for housing development, has phenomenally segmented the business for only the rich developers. Very interesting insight there. Thank you so much for sharing that thought with us. All right, before I take more of your thoughts, I will share very quick information with you. And don't forget, also coming, Peter Obi also spoke at Arewa House and he talked about improving a particular kind of business. I'll tell you what kind of business after this break.
Hello, good evening. So today's was 19th of October 2022, and so it's 3 days left for the completion of the cocktail week, which started on the 14th of October to 22nd of October. And courtesy of MasterCard, you're giving you an opportunity to create a masterpiece of, okay, I don't know if this actually works, but fun with your squad. Now you get to create more priceless moments with mixology at its finest and signature cocktails specially curated for you at the best bars and restaurant in this Lagos. So call your friends, okay? Tell them that drinks are on you this cocktail week, all right? Now, for details on participating restaurants and bars, please visit www.lagoscocktailweek.com. www.lagoscocktailweek.com. So that when next you're out, you can ask for the MasterCard cocktail menu. And when they give it to you, make sure that you pay with your MasterCard. And trust me, when you do that, you're on your way to paying or experiencing something truly priceless.
All right. Thank you very much. Let me take a final message and then we'll take an even longer break. But when we come back, Lagos, Peter Obi spoke at Arewa House. He talked about improving agribusiness in Nigeria. Specifically, he talked about his plan to help farmers mechanize. I'll give you details of what he said after we come back from a break. But right now, this message here from Ike Inigondo says, Sandra, I want the incoming president to open importation of all edibles to curb food scarcity. All right. Thank you very much for your message. All right. We'll take that break. When we come back, let's talk about Peter Obi's plan for businesses. Don't forget, I'm still taking your thoughts about, well, what you'd like the incoming president to do for your own particular industry. But I'm also asking, what would the costs be, the actual costs for low-cost housing be? Because we need good numbers to assess this particular plan properly. What does it cost to build a low-income home? What does it cost to build a luxury home? What's the cost difference to a developer? Do you believe that enough Nigerians can afford the cheaper homes? if you're a developer, would a tax break, how much of a tax break would you need to make you switch from luxury homes or high-range homes to low-cost housing? I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, S. Ezekwesili on social media. Don't go away. P2B's plan for your business coming up.
Nigeria Info, your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. This is the realest business show on the radio.
If you earn a living, you probably own a business, work for one, or want to start one. Business is central to your life. But do most business shows really speak to you?
Today on the show, the billion-dollar valuation of
Balogun Broad does. Let's talk about the stock market and Alaba market. Let's talk about share IPOs and diesel supply LPOs. Let's talk about Broad Street.
The Nigeria Stock Exchange recorded an all-time high of
and Balogun Street.
The maximum I'll spend on fuels on fro was 4,000.
Balogun Broad, Wednesdays at 5.
How will the candidates' proposed policies affect your business? According to EFINA's 2020 Financial Services Survey, there were 46.4 million small business owners in Nigeria. So tens of millions of people who, apart from being voters, are also business owners. Which means that when you're deciding how to cast your vote, you are not just thinking about security, healthcare, education. You're also thinking about your livelihood. Each candidate's policy could affect your livelihood. We all saw how closing the borders affected the livelihood of multiple people. We all saw how our inability to have a unified currency exchange rate has affected the businesses of so many people. Policies affect business. Politics, who you vote, matters for your business. So on Balogun Broad today, we're looking at some of the campaign promises from the candidates to the business community. Before the break, we took a look at Atiku's low-cost housing promise or low-cost housing suggestion or idea. If you missed it, let me play it again for you.
Right now, if you are talking about housing, there is an oversupply of housing in Abuja. You know why? Simply because there is money laundering. But the oversupply of housing is not housing that caters for the ordinary man, for the poor man. What you can do is to identify those investors in housing. Come. Yeah, you are building houses for medium and high income groups. I want you to build houses for low income, these people who don't have houses. If you build the houses, I will give you tax incentive. I will give you this, I will give you that. They will do it. The point is that, well, pardon me if I'm approaching governance like a businessman. I am a businessman. But governance nowadays is managing business. If you don't know how to manage business, don't get involved in governance, because you will be a failure.
All right. Peter Obi also spoke at Arewa House. He talked about improving agribusiness in Nigeria. Specifically, he talked about his plan to help farmers mechanize. If you can watch us live, we are streaming on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. We're also on YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Here's what Peter Obi had to say.
I'm going to the bank.
So first of all, with Peter Obi's comments, I have a question for those of you who are in the agri space, especially in the farming business directly. Farmers, do you agree with Obi that lack of mechanization is one of the major things holding businesses back? Will access to tractors improve farm outputs? If you're a farmer, I want to hear from you. Obi says that he's going to get all the banks, the federal, the state governments, to buy shares in the Bank of Agriculture. Then the Bank of Industry will use that money to give loan to farmers. So I want us to talk about the Bank of Agriculture. Again, this is a question for those of you in the agri space. What are the biggest problems with the Bank of Agriculture and the Bank of Industry? Is it a lack of funding? Are there other problems there? I'm asking because it's important to know whether Obi has properly assessed the situation or whether he's you know, suggesting, oh, just throw money at the problem. Obi also said he'll make sure that the loans from the Bank of Agriculture go to actual farmers. He's referring to the problem that currently exists where government loans and grants for farmers end up going to briefcase farmers. That's what they're called. The CBN has a serious problem with anchor borrower scheme, for example. I mentioned that yesterday. But what I really want to know from those of you in the agri industry, how does loan disbursement currently work? What are the loopholes that currently make it easy to divert all that money to non-farmers? Do you think it's realistic for a president to say that they're going to put measures in place to stop it? Because thinking about it, it's a problem that comes down to identity management, right? Just like one of the callers who called in to talk about security and people coming into the country, it's about identity management again. And GIS management to know who owns what land. GIS is a geographical information systems, I think. I have to Google and be sure, but I think that's what it means. But it's what they use at the state land offices to track real estate transactions. We need tighter systems in place to identify farmland, to verify farmers' identities, verify the connection between a verified farmer and a verified farmland. All of that information has to be tied to the financial system so that we know that the loans are going to the right people. But again, I need those in that industry to give me a call and talk to me about this. Those of you in the space, I want to know if you think that that's the problem that needs to be tackled. Again, we're keeping it business. We're not talking policy on this segment today, right? We're not looking at the policy angle. We're looking specifically at the business policy side of this conversation. Yes, I know that security is an issue, electricity, all those things. But, you know, perhaps electricity is not security. It's part of the business policy side. And here you have Obi saying, well, we need mechanized farming. That's what the main problem is. What do you think? 0700-993-993-993. Do you agree with Obi that lack of mechanization is one of the major things holding your agric business back? Do you think that access to tractors will improve farm outputs? What are the biggest problems with the Bank of Agriculture? Is it a lack of funding? Are there other problems there? 0700-993-993-993 for men. Women, call us on 01465-7190. Hello, thank you for calling us.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, this is Akibu on the line. Are you hearing me?
Yes, welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, what is there as the guide to farming? Farming is not an easy task for an individual. Sometimes are yearly, sometimes are 3 years, let me cash crop. Like cocoa, orange, all those things. Then those ones, the government need to embark on that. But what happened to farm settlement? There they will employ people. They may not get the profit for that year. In less than 2 years, there will be a lot of money and a lot of food because of the settlement. So, and the farm settlement does not require people trekking or carrying people from a long distance to there. Those low-cost houses we are talking about, like using local resources, like Tankane back to cast pillar, that's why it's very effective. Using Rose Federico back to cast the decking, and then roof it with asbestos instead of looking for aluminium, which are very expensive.
Asbestos.
So they should be able to store local resources to build houses.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay. All right. Thank you. Very much.
For instance, we in those days, during the time of Ogbemudia, there was a lot of farm settlement of agri. Okay, what is the purpose of Ministry of Agri? If they cannot implement enough food to the nation,
I'm hearing you. Thank you so much for calling us, Ms. Aigbe. I wouldn't recommend asbestos in anybody's house. It's very carcinogenic. It's unhealthy. If it's in your house, you shouldn't be. By the way, the final 15 minutes of this show is brought to you by Codros. Codros is an investment organization. I wish they were in here today to tell you a bit more about investing and the different things, different instruments that you can invest through. They are sponsors right here on Balogun and Broad. So let's take a message from Codros and then I'll come right back to taking your calls.
Everyone has a desire to succeed in life. From the moment we utter our first words, curiosity gets a better part of us, and our quest for knowledge leads on a path to learn more, achieve more, acquire more. We desire to grow. You desire to be more than just a top graduating student or the employee of the month. You desire to take your income further. What if you had a partner that is committed to helping you grow? A partner like Codros Group that has a reputation for wealth creation. With our team of experts in securities trading, financial advisory, asset management, insurance brokerage, trusteeship, and registrar services, we guarantee a bouquet of customized solutions that add value to your specific needs and goals. In your quest to grow and achieve more, we are your trusted partner, staying with you every step of the way. Call 0700-267-3767 or visit www.codros.com to start investing.
Thank you very
Welcome
much.
To Codros, your growth partner.
Thank you very much, Codros, for sponsoring the final 15 minutes of today's Balogun and Broad. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for calling. What's your name, sir?
Good evening.
My
name is Godwin.
Godwin, welcome.
Yes, I'm calling from Lekki area.
Good to have you on the show. Go ahead, Godwin.
Yeah, I'm a farmer, so...
Okay.
I'm a leader of one of the farming group in Lagos.
Okay.
So, talking about loan, not getting to the farmer
actual
directly,
farmers, right.
That is one of the problems. If you look at last week, I had an interview with NAN, that's the news agency of Nigeria.
Yes.
And I also stated that is one of the problems. Because when we look at the indices of what government have really reared out in terms of agri, they are in hundreds of billions.
Right.
And as we speak, this money don't come to the real farmers.
Right.
And I remember, like you made mention of the anchor borrowers program.
Right.
When they wanted to start, we had a meeting with CBN, and we gave them our template. They wanted us to use their own template, and we said it's not going to work.
Right.
Because it's just like the farmers laboring for some people. But on the long run, they went behind us and did it, and the thing did not work. So, and they were looking for people that took the loan. I don't know how they go about it.
Okay.
So what we are asking the government to do is for them to reach out to some of these formidable associations. They know they are farmers. They can bring them out in terms of if there's any violation and all those stuff. So you don't give loans to portfolio farmers. And in the long run, the real farmers are not getting it. Okay, look at, for instance,
right.
Tomato. Botswana, very small country. They supplied Ghana last year. They supplied about $40 billion.
right.
worth of tomato to Ghana.
Right.
And we have the space, we have the land, we have the technology, we have everything.
Mm-hmm.
You go to my 12, you see tomato rotting and all those stuff.
Mm.
So what are we talking about?
So you so have...
The new government that is coming
mm-hmm.
to up his game
mm-hmm.
and ensure. And I want to align with what Peter Obi is saying.
Okay.
We can feed Africa. We can feed the world.
Okay.
We have the land, we have the manpower and everything.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling us. We appreciate it, sir. We've got a message here on WhatsApp. Peter Obi's approach to improve agriculture and increase food production through mechanized farming is too far-reaching. This is because, as yet, Nigeria doesn't have the basic requirements for mechanized farming available to all farmers. How will he resolve the legal restraint from land use laws that give government ownership of lands rather than the owners and farmers? Are farmers going to keep farming with the natural breeds or go in favor of GMOs? Will his government be subsidizing for farmers the cost of purchasing farming machineries? I wonder how presidential candidate Peter Obi will power the farms and machinery required for mechanized farming. Will he be using helicopter to freight the farm produce to the urban areas because the roads are obviously not going to fix itself? How will the loans be administered and monitored? Peter Obi needs to break his policies down in light of the Nigerian realities. I don't know who this gentleman is, but I really love your contributions on WhatsApp. Thank you very much for making them. Tayo says, the most important thing is to bring interest rate low and make credit facility available. Thank you very much. We've got Remy from Akoka who says, Sandra, I beg to differ. Not all countries with refineries pay higher pump prices. Kindly check the amount of diesel being sold in Iran for confirmation. So the question is, what is Iran doing differently? Imagine our four refineries are working optimally and we have a government who has the interests of the masses at heart. We'll be buying diesel, PMS, kerosene, gas way less than the crazy amount we're buying now. I want a president who is prudent, who has the capacity to handle our economy, education, security, diversity, and foreign affairs. For the opting's time, vote wisely because elections have consequences. Remy from Akoka with that message there. We've got somebody from Ajachine, from Aja. She says, I'm into skincare and wellness. What I want are 24/7 electricity because my business is heavily reliant on power. I also want a president who will stabilize the economy so that there will be a boom which will bring more jobs. More jobs means more people have money. More money means more people will patronize small businesses like mine so that we don't shut down. There are many businesses shutting down right now due to low or no patronage. Okay. Thank you very much for your message. We've got 2 minutes. How many calls can I take in 2 minutes? How many thoughts can I take in 2 minutes? Not a lot. So let's take this message here on Facebook. Jimmy Lomax says, my request for the incoming administration is to curb the excess taxation on the highway, most especially on farm produce. All right. Well, I'm sure you noticed that I don't have Tinubu's business suggestions or policies yet because he hasn't shared them yet. As soon as he does, just like I shared his thoughts on climate change yesterday, I'll share that as well. But keep it here if you want to hear insightful, in-depth analysis of some of the policies that these candidates are putting forward. Next week, we're going to focus a lot on the Lagos